Do you ever like have ideas for inventions that you think this would be great? The people, somebody should make this. I don't know how to do it, but somebody should make this. My idea that I've come to over the course of the last year, I have many of these wonderful ideas that I'm sure would make me a fortune should I ever be able to figure out how to do them. But I believe they should make cereal boxes that after you pour a bowl of cereal, it will not allow you to pour another bowl of cereal for 30 minutes. You know why? Because when I have a bowl of cereal, and I usually give myself a generous bowl of cereal, but when I have a bowl of cereal, when I finish that last bit of cereal and cereal milk that goes with it, you know what I want more than anything? I want another bowl of cereal immediately. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've succumbed to that. Like, it's just like there's this thing in your brain that goes, like, well, I know where there's more. And so back you go for more. And I thought, this would be great if there was something that would stop me from doing this that didn't require me to be the one who was doing the stopping. Because I know really that I'm probably not hungry anymore. Like, I don't need a second bowl of cereal. But news hasn't reached my stomach yet and hasn't sent the message back up to stop sending food. And so I'm thinking I should just go ahead and have some more. And long term, that's a bad plan. Like day after day, that strategy is not good. And especially if you're like me and you like cereal in the morning and you like it again in the evening, that turns into lots of cereal. So it would be ideal if I would gather some wisdom about myself and not need some sort of external apparatus that would help me to do the right thing. But my problem is that when I'm in the middle of it, I'm not thinking long term. And I'm not thinking about how wise or foolish this is. I'm just thinking that another bowl of cereal would taste great right now. A much more serious example of wisdom and foolishness. This is a story. This is your bonus Bible story for the day, your bonus Bible passage. This is a story. Some of y'all may have heard this story before and may be totally aware of it. For others, this may be one that you may know one character in it, but the others are new to you. But in 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, this was our story the first night of Bible school this year. It is a story about a woman named Abigail. And we talked about Abigail as one who had courage. And she does have courage, but she's also going to show that she has wisdom in this story. So if you're not aware of the story of Abigail, quickly as I can do it, Abigail was married to a guy named Nabal. Nabal was a landowner and he owned animals. And so he had a large spread and was well off. Thumbnail sketch. This is at a time when David has been anointed king by Samuel. So you may know that story where David is a youth and he's off in the fields and they go through all the brothers and get to the last one and David is anointed. So he's anointed as the Lord's chosen, but he's not really king yet because Saul is still king when this story happens. So Saul is king and David and Saul have a real on and off relationship. So you will find stories in scripture where David is embraced by Saul. And Saul likes David. But then you'll also find stories in scripture where Saul is insanely jealous of David because he recognizes characteristics and qualities in David that he doesn't see within himself, and he feels confident that everybody else sees it too. And so he is obsessed with David. And at these times, he wants David gone, taken care of. And so David spends a good bit of time in those formative years of young adulthood off in the wilderness by himself with his followers. So he has an entourage normally, a group of loyalists with him. And this story happens with that going on. So while he's doing this, the way that David provides for himself is, an unpleasant way of saying it might be to say David runs an extortion racket. But we're going to say it not more nicely than that. David will, while he's out in the wilderness, will make sure that other people don't harm your livestock. He will also make sure that he doesn't harm your livestock and his men don't harm your livestock. And in exchange for that gift of not doing that and keeping others from doing it, he expects that when he asks for something, when he is in need, when he has need of a resource, he can come to you and say, look how safe your place is. Look how protected you are. You might want to give me something as a way of expressing your gratitude for how protected you are. And so this was the dealings that would go on. So in this story, what happens is, you'll remember I said Nabal was a landowner and had animals and so on. David decides that he's in the area where Nabal is, and he wants for Nabal to provide some provisions for him and for his followers, for the people that are with him. So he sends them to Nabal and explains all this about how I'm taking care of you, I'm making sure nothing happens to your animals, I'm not doing anything to them. Wouldn't it be great if all that continued? And by the way, we could use a few provisions. And Nabal's response to this is no. And his response along with that is, who is David? So when Nabal's people take this message back to David's people, and then David's people take this back to David, David is like, let's go tell him who we are. What David wants to do, he's very angry, and he wants to go and he wants to kill Nabal. That is his plan. Let's go kill Nabal. Nabal's servants go back and they tell Nabal's wife, Abigail, this is what's happening. And they explain the whole process, which you don't have to be a mathematician to figure out how this works. And Abigail understands immediately what's going on. She understands the mistake her husband has made, and she understands what needs to be done. So she goes and she intercepts David on his way to do away with her husband. And she sort of throws all these things at him. She has all these provisions, basically everything that he'd asked for, and probably a little bit more. But beyond that, beyond the things that she brings, she also has wisdom. She also has words for David, which is she appeals to him. And in a way, she appeals to his vanity. But beyond that, what she appeals to is just his ability to think about what the choice he's making now and the fact that this is not going to be the only moment ever in his life. So what she says is, you know, I see greatness in you. You're going to be a big person in this nation. You're going to be the king. You know, I see that in you. You're going to be so big and so important. And down the road, when you are that great, important person, do you really want to look back on this day and think of how small and petty you were, that you decided you were going to go be angry with this guy and take his life over this minor thing that really, in the larger scheme of things, is not such a big deal, especially considering that now we've given you all this stuff? And David, you'll see there's just the right amount of the appeal to vanity in there, because what she's basically saying is, David, you're bigger than this. And so David, there he is before her, considering his options, and he says, guys, you know what? I am bigger than this. I'm going to be king. I don't need to do this. She's right. And so David turns around and he goes away. But what she enabled him to do was to take the long view, to think past how angry he was in that moment and how he knew exactly in that moment the thing he wanted to do that would make him happy. But to understand that once he'd done that thing, there's going to be repercussions and it's going to look poorly on him, and people are going to look at him differently afterwards. And so that she wanted him to look beyond the immediate gratification of doing the thing immediately that he wanted to do, which would be the foolish thing. And she wanted him to take a much longer view so that he could see the long-term implications, to look at the situation with an eye towards wisdom, towards having wisdom. So he's saved by Abigail's wisdom from his short-term foolishness. Foolishness, as we're going to be thinking about it in these next few minutes, might be described as chasing after the next thing we think we want. Like focusing solely on the next thing we think we want or the next thing we think we need, and having our focus so intently there that we are unable to think of anything else or what it might mean should we get that thing now. What would be the impact of that beyond that? Wisdom, as opposed to that idea of foolishness, is simply being able to think longer term. To ask not just, how do I get the thing I want now that's in my mind, and then how do I get the next thing I want or need, but what does it mean? And if I do that, then what will be the next thing that happens? So the primary scripture this morning, that was your bonus scripture, your primary scripture, the one we actually read, was the story not of David, but of David's son, Solomon. And Solomon has, David has just died, and Solomon has become the king, and Solomon describes himself to God as young and inexperienced. So that's Solomon's self-assessment at this point. And he goes and he offers sacrifices, and God says to Solomon, ask whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you. I don't know how that went down, but imagine if that was an actual voice that you heard and you were sure it was God. So God's voice is speaking to you. Whatever you want, ask me, and I'll give it to you. And you're thinking, it's God, so God must mean this, and it's God, so God can do this. Like, what goes through your mind if you're figuring out the possible, you know, what do I ask for? What is the thing that I should request from God in this situation? This is not coming around again. I want this to be good. I want to make the right choice. And Solomon's answer is the way we think of Solomon. It is what shaped and formed. If I was to say, give me one word about Solomon, we may get some different answers, but the one that would probably come up the most would be wisdom, would be wise. And that's his greatest characteristic that we remember from his time in Scripture. His answer, the portion towards the end of his answer was this: please give your servant a discerning mind in order to govern your people and to distinguish good from evil, because no one is able to govern this important people of yours without your help. And this request makes God happy. God is pleased with, it doesn't say what would happen if God had been unhappy with the choice, but it tells us that when Solomon's request is for discernment, for wisdom, for the ability to make good choices for leading the people, that God is pleased with what Solomon has asked for. And God says, I'm pleased, and here's why. He says, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for wealth. You didn't ask for victory over your enemies. And if you're Solomon in that position as a young king facing all the things that a young king would face, any of those things would not just have been possible answers, they would have been likely answers. And they would have seemed like good responses. If I'm going to get this one shot at asking for something, anything from God, any of those three things might have been an awesome thing to ask for from that perspective. But God is pleased that none of those things were asked for, because all of them are short-term things. None of those things has a long-term quality to it. They're all, I can't see over the next hill kinds of things to ask for. They're all self-interested things. Long life for me, wealth for me, victory over the enemies for me. They're things that are about Solomon. And instead of asking for things that are about him, he asks for things instead that show his interest in God's will. And his interest in God's will, not just for himself, but his interest in God's will as he was serving as leader for the people. He wants discernment so he can know what to do as king, to guide the people, not in the way Solomon wants to go, but in the way that God wants for them to go. So he was able to look past short-term, short-sighted foolishness, and he was able to reach for, ask for, long-term, visionary wisdom. Ephesians 5 is the sort of tag-along kid brother to this scripture in this lectionary passage this morning, and it also talks about foolishness and wisdom. And it talks about ignorance, and it equates ignorance with drunkenness, and then it equates wisdom with life in the spirit. And as you think about drunkenness, I think what it wants you to bring to mind is, what are the effects of drunkenness? Well, probably short-term bad judgment. among whatever other things there might be, short-term bad judgment would be right there. And I think that rather than a direct prohibition about don't drink, well, maybe that's there, part of what it's saying is don't do things like drinking that cause you to be a person of short-term bad judgment, with the emphasis being on the short-term bad judgment, because it wants you to set that alongside of life in the Spirit. And what life on the Spirit is the opposite of is, it's not the opposite of not drinking, it's the opposite of being foolish. Life in the Spirit is being wise. And so it is asking us to be wise, to be filled with the Spirit, to choose God's will. Doing that makes for a long-term good decision-making. So the problem that may not seem to be a problem at this point is, who doesn't want to make wise decisions? Like, raise your hand if you don't want to make wise decisions. I think that's intrinsic to who we are. We would like to make wise decisions. And if we want to make wise decisions, who wouldn't benefit from some long-term strategic thinking about things? We'd probably agree to that as well. That seems like a good idea. I should do that. So who wouldn't want these things? Me! I don't want them when I'm trying to decide on a second bowl of cereal. Absolutely don't want them. I want a second bowl of cereal then. We'll deal with the consequences later. Who doesn't want these things? I would say that it's us. Us, whenever we know what we want now. In that moment when we know what we want now and we are focused on acquiring it now, we are not interested in people talking to us about long-term good judgment. It seems like what they're saying to us is no. They may not be saying no, but that's what it sounds like. And so that's what runs up against this thing that seems like a really good idea to us, and which we all in theory agree to, until we're put in that position of having to make a decision or get ourselves beyond short-term to long-term. So let's do a little mental exercise. Put yourself in Solomon's place. You are young King Solomon. You've just assumed the throne. They've just married your father, David. And now God comes to you and says, what would you like? Tell me what you'd like and name it, and I'm going to do it for you. And in that moment, I think those things that God says he's glad Solomon didn't ask for, those would be like the hit parade of things that you would ask for. You'd be like, I want to live a long time. Make me live forever. Or I want wealth. Give me more wealth than I can imagine. Or I'm going to have to do a lot of battling, because that's what kings would do. A lot of is either be happy they weren't in battle or be preparing for the next battle, because there's a lot of that. So you might think, I'm going to need that. Now, the thing with any of those things might be long life. Long life without discernment. One word for describing long life without discernment could be misery. I mean, having that gift of long life might be wonderful, but if you're constantly making miserable decisions that make your life and the lives of others miserable, long life may not be the most wonderful blessing that you ever encountered. Wealth. If you have wealth, but you have no sense about how to use it, and no sense of anyone besides yourself and short-term thinking, that wealth may end up not being a blessing for you. It may make you someone that's kind of a pariah to others. And it may be that you, while not even a blessing to you, may be something that makes you whatever the opposite of a blessing is to those around you because of the way that you live your life. And the victory over others, again, is a short-term gain. What will you do when you've won? Like, look around and look for another battle to fight because that's what you're good at? Do you want to be battling all the time? The thing that we think that we want always probably seems like a good idea at first blush. And any of those answers would have been defensible. But the choice of wisdom, the choice of saying, the thing that I most want is that gift of discernment is a gift that makes any of those other things much more of a blessing should they come along. And you'll notice that what God says is, he says, in addition to what you asked for, I'm going to give you these other things. But what God is saying to Solomon is, I'm going to give them to you because I know I can trust you with them. Because you asked for the right thing. You're going to know how to use these gifts that I give to you because you're going to have this gift of discernment. So what is the core difference that discernment makes? Not just for Solomon, but for us. Why is this a good idea for us as well? Discernment. Wisdom is not being the smartest person. Wisdom does not mean that we like test for IQs and the one with the highest IQ is the wisest. Wisdom is not being the best at math or at science or at any other subject in school, academia. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is not being able to beat the stock market. Also, maybe a wonderful gift, but not wisdom. Wisdom is learning this fundamental truth. God's will is better than my will. That is the beginning of wisdom. Understanding that however good I think my will is, that what I want is God's will. Because it's not like there's a fraction where we're going to break it down and go, God's right 80% of the time and I'm right 20%, or God's right 50 and I'm right 50. God is going to be right 100% of the time. And while I may be sometimes in agreement with God, there's never going to be a time where it's going to be like, gotcha that time, God. So that God's will is always going to be what I need to be seeking after and running my idea, whatever my will might be, past however I test it to understand what God's will is. Wisdom is learning not to give in to my short-term desires. It is wanting the discernment of God's Holy Spirit to guide my decisions and to guide my life. There was for... sometimes I notice things and other times I don't. So for however long we've lived here, 13 years now, I've been driving out Bardstown Road from the Snyder, you know, going into Louisville for different things, driving back out Bardstown Road to Mount Washington. And one day I looked over into this field next to the road to my, this is my left, correct? To my left as I'm driving out towards Mount Washington. I look over and there is this beautiful bridge. And my first thought was, where did that bridge come from? But then I'm looking at it and I'm like, that's the goofiest bridge I've ever seen. It's like a little storybook bridge over there. I mean, it was a beautiful bridge in the middle of a field. And I thought, who did that? What were they thinking about? There was no road. It was literally this wonderful bridge with no road leading up to it. I'm like, someone must have started something and got into it and then decided we're not going to do this. And now they got this wonderful bridge and it doesn't serve any purpose. And so I would drive by feeling very smug every time I saw that bridge, thinking, all these people and their beautiful bridge. Well, why did they do this? And that was my idea until they opened up Broad Run Park. Until all of a sudden there was this road that went from Bardstown Road over to the beautiful bridge, and you drive over the beautiful bridge and into Broad Run Park, and it's a wonderful gateway to that park. Somebody didn't just accidentally put a beautiful bridge there. Somebody who was thinking down the road and had some foresight put that bridge there. And my limited awareness of what was going on made me judgmental and smug and so on as I looked over at it. But the reality was that I had no clue what was actually happening. I was basing my assumptions and my judgments on a limited set of information that ultimately was wrong. I went from seeing the bridge and thinking that they were thinking about kind of a strange thing when they did that to thinking what an amazing, awesome thing that they had done and how grateful I was that they had built that bridge. Wisdom is looking around in the fields of our lives and understanding that the beautiful bridges that we don't understand are there for a reason, and that I can't demand that reason at this instant, but that if I trust that I'll understand eventually, if I look long term, if I look past my immediate interest, I will know that one day there is a reason why God put all those beautiful bridges and all these different places in my life, because one day God will give me a reason to cross them. One day God will say, now you understand this thing that you didn't understand, and now it makes sense, and now you will give thanks for the blessing that you had not understood up until this point. Like so much about faith, it is easy to agree that it is best, and it is a challenge to let go of short-sighted foolishness. So we can agree that it's a good thing, and at the same time we can say, I struggle to do this. And it is also a desirable thing and a hard thing at times to choose God's wisdom. So I would ask you to pray for several things. Pray for the wisdom that when Abigail's speak truth into our lives, we will listen. Pray that we will, if ever confronted with that opportunity to make requests of God, that we will be wise like Solomon and think about what a really good request would be to make of God. And let us pray that we will recognize the bridges that God places in the fields of our lives so that when we see them, we don't say, it doesn't make sense to me now, so it's never going to make sense. But to understand that God puts these things here and God is looking longer term, and let us ask for the wisdom and the perseverance, endurance, the will to set our will second and seek God's will first. Thanks be to God. Amen.